As we've been reporting, there's a great deal of investigative activity in Boston today, including at the home of Carlos and Melida Arredondo of Roslindale.
We right now talking to the FBI. They've been here for a while. We'd like to help you in a minute, okay? If you want, you can come around here in the fence. Come inside here. We need to finish with the FBI first.
Well, journalists from around the world, France, Spain, Germany, and the UK, were there in front of the Arredondo's house when we arrived earlier today. Two special agents from the FBI were also inside.
And after about an hour, they left.
Thank you.
You can call our Boston office. Thank you.
Well, you may not have heard of Carlos Arredondo, but you've seen his picture. He's the man in the cowboy hat, racing alongside a gravely injured young man whose legs had been blown off by the first bomb blast at Monday's marathon. The picture of Carlos, that young man, and other first responders beside him has become one of the iconic images of the marathon bombings.
The Arredondos already have deep knowledge of tragedy. They've lost two sons. Lance Corporal Alexander Arredondo was shot and killed by a sniper in Najaf, Iraq in 2004. Their other son, Brian, was severely depressed and committed suicide in 2011.
That's why they were at Monday's marathon. As Carlos's wife, Melida Arredondo, says, they were there in the VIP section at the finish line to thank the people who were running in honor of their lost sons.
The National Guard was coming in wearing rucks, okay, their 40-pound rucks that they have on their back, and they started at 4 a.m. And so we were specifically looking for the person who had Alex's yellow ribbon.
Melida was sitting in the stands at the finish line with other families of the fallen. Carlos was on the street. He was handing out American flags to other people on the street so that they, too, could cheer on the guardsmen as they ran by. Carlos adjusted his cowboy hat. Then all hell broke loose.
We were just across the street from the first explosion.
What did it sound like?
It sounded like really loud, like a cannon, because I've heard the cannons go off at Charlestown. It sounds like a cannon, and I saw the light from the shock, and then I saw that the plate glass windows in those buildings there came down on people.
Carlos ran across Boylston Street and towards the blast.
I jumped two fences. My first fence, run across the street, and then I jumped the second fence. And when I landed on the other side, was really a chaos, was a really terrifying situation where all the people injured there, you know, all the bleeding and broken limbs and missing limbs and people crying and people asking for help, and was a whole chaos.
But the second blast, which was about 50 yards to the left of me or west, when that went off, and I really saw a lot more from that angle, there was a lot of smoke and debris and everything else, and that one is what really panicked me.
And that's pretty much when I know was bombs exploding there.
There's a grainy photograph of Carlos vaulting the second fence. He's still holding a flag in his hand. There was blood, people moaning on the ground, debris everywhere. But instead of rushing to a victim, Carlos, who is also a Red Cross volunteer, realized that other rescuers were going to have to get to that part of the sidewalk, and not everyone would jump the barricade. So he tore at the plastic and tried to pull down part of the fence to let others in. And then he turned around and ran to the first person he could, an injured woman whom Carlos reassured. "Hang on. Help is on the way," he told her. He ran to another person, a young man named Jeff Bauman Jr., though Carlos didn't know that at the time. All he knew was that the bomb had blown off both of Bauman's legs.
When I first came down on my knees into the ground, I just trying to calm him down, to let him know that he's okay, that he's going to be okay, the help is on the way, we're going to help you here, relax. What's your name? He told me his name. I told him my name is Carlos. Just relax, stay still. He was very awake the whole time. And then I saw that he was bleeding very badly. Another Samaritan who came along to help, he and I start working together by me picking up a sweater and turn it apart in order to put it in their legs.
To tie a tourniquet.
Yes, to stop the bleeding because it was very bad. And after we tied the tourniquet and the legs, another young lady came running with a wheelchair, and I grabbed that wheelchair. I picked up Jeff, and I put him in the wheelchair, and I told the lady, we need to move fast. We need to move fast.
They ran down the street, Jeff Bauman in the wheelchair, legs shattered, his face both ashen and stained with dark powder and blood. A young woman in a white Boston Marathon jacket is pushing the wheelchair behind him. An EMT in a bright yellow jacket is leading the way. And Carlos Arredondo, his hands bloody, still holding on tight to the tourniquet, he's the man in the cowboy hat. They ran right past AP photographer Charles Krupka, who snapped the picture that hours later would be seen around the world.
I pushed that wheelchair, and I was screaming, I need an ambulance, I need an ambulance, an ambulance, an ambulance, I need an ambulance. And I never let go of him or the wheelchair. So I reached the ambulance. I picked up Jeff from the wheelchair, and I put him in one of the beds of the ambulance, and they took over from there, the paramedics.
Because of that, he was the first person to reach Boston Medical Center.
That's correct. And that was the purpose about getting him the quickest we can out of there to safety. Otherwise, he will bleed all the way to the ambulance.
I'm pretty proud of Carlos about that, that his quick thought in action really made a big difference. They call it the golden hour when you're in the field and you have a very serious injury during, you know, while you're in war. That golden hour, and Carlos really helped in getting a few seconds off of that golden hour or minutes. So.
It's a family, military family, who lost a son in Iraq. You know, watching the images and listening to all this, i.e. this happened, you know, in the war zone, you know, it's such traumatic feelings, you know, knowing these things really happen. But when they are in front of you, it really happened in front of you, you really realize that this is it. You know, do better move and do whatever you need to do quick. Otherwise, time is very valuable.
When Carlos lifted Jeff Bauman Jr. into the ambulance, yes, he was thinking of his own son, Alex Arredondo, who died in a firefight in Iraq in 2004. Here again is Carlos's wife, Melita.
And I definitely felt like Boston was under attack, that this was a war zone, and that back on our own soil, and that it happens so many places around the world all the time.
The whole time we were there, we was thinking of our sons. Jeff himself has a mother, a father, brothers, and girlfriends, a wife, and family who really was hoping somebody help their own sons and daughters.
Have you seen Jeff or his family since Monday?
No, I haven't heard from his family, or we haven't heard from his family.
No, this morning we spoke with his stepmother. You spoke with his stepmother this morning. We're supposed to get in touch with each other at some point. He's in surgery today, is our understanding. But that's as far as the communication's gone.
Now, forgive me for asking this, but I feel like I must. You lost your son, Alex, in 2004, and your son, Brian, passed away. And I know that you have been a very active peace activist since Alex died in Iraq. And yet, because of what the humanity and heroics that you showed on Monday, the world's media is here now. And they've never paid as much attention to you for your activism regarding anti-war efforts. And I'm not saying this to diminish what happened on Monday. You saved somebody's life. But I'm just wondering what you think about the fact that you have Spain, France, Germany, NPR at your door now, when maybe, you know, we haven't paid as much attention to you before.
I don't consider myself as a hero, you know, whatsoever. But the attention that I'm getting right now is something that really concerns me for my own safety. Because as you know, as we're speaking, you know what I mean, whoever made this act of terror only yesterday or before yesterday, still on the loose.
And as Carlos's main witness and the fact that we've done a lot of the peace activism and activism on behalf of wounded and returning veterans, it's being human, okay? It's not about heroics or... There were a lot of people who did a lot of heroic things that day.
So now you're one of the most famous people in the world. I mean, you're that picture of you and Jeff in the wheelchair, you're the man with the cowboy hat, as they say. And so last night I was looking on Twitter and that pictures everywhere and people commenting about, you know, they can't believe what you did. It's amazing. You saved a life. And there was one tweet in particular that just really put my heart in my throat. And the person tweeted that, you know, given the fact that you have lost two of your sons, your two sons, that maybe your family or you have endured so much pain so that it allowed you to save another man's son. And I'm wondering what you thought of that.
Well, as a father, it's my responsibility to honor my sons. And it's a, you know, from one family to another family. I've been there where I received comfort from families, and now it's time for me to give comfort to other families. And that's the beauty about it, that we can all unite together in these difficult times.
This is the son he could help. Not his blood relative, but because of his actions, his mother's able to hug her son today.
Melida and Carlos, thank you so much. Really, on behalf of everyone who's hearing this, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Melida.
Carlos Arredondo is the man in the cowboy hat. He and his wife, Melida Arredondo, spoke with us from in their house in Roslindale a little earlier today.
And that's our show for today. Stay with WBUR for continuing coverage of the marathon bombings, including a press conference coming up in about an hour. That's at 5 p.m. with local, state, and federal authorities on the state of the investigation so far. And repeating the latest news, investigators are denying early reports that a suspect is in custody. Meanwhile, the Moakley Federal Courthouse in South Boston has been evacuated. We'll keep you posted on all the latest news and information. Stay tuned now for All Things Considered coming up next. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.